Okay, the question is, those who hear the gospel of grace today, will they have an opportunity to believe in the tribulation period? Okay, so we're going to go ahead and bring the scriptures up again. Hold on a minute while I do that. And take a look at a couple of passages here. Okay, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, what you need to see is verses 7 through 13. Okay, it's pretty much it's on the left side of the screen. We're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The subject is the mystery of lawlessness or iniquity. We're reading from verse 7 down through verse 13.
The mystery of iniquity that went away. Only he who now lives will live until he is taken out of the way.
All right. Scroll up from read verse 6 as well.
And now you know what we quoted that might be the will be the same. But the mystery of iniquity definitely weak. Only he who now lives will live until he be taken out of the way.
Okay. Yeah, just stop there a minute. Okay. The wicked one is going to be revealed in his time. The wicked one of verse 8 is going to be revealed in his time and not in the time of he that is taken out of the way. Who is the he that is taken out of the way? It's those that are gathered together unto the Lord in verse 1. Read that. Abba.
By the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they are gathered together.
Okay, he's encouraging the brethren by our gathering together unto the Lord because they had a problem in verse 2, didn't they? What's
that? That he be not seen sitting in night, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by wind, nor be lit as from us, as at the day of Christ.
Okay. So you see, they thought that in the day of Christ, there's really the word kurios in the Greek is the day of the Lord, is the day of the Lord is in the hand. So these Thessalonian believers thought that they were already in the day of the Lord, and Paul had to assure them by the fact that they weren't, because their gathering together unto the Lord was still future. Okay? And then he gives the time sequence of two events in verse 3. Go ahead and read verse 3.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except they come with pulling away face, and let none of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
Okay, so the one who's going to be revealed is only going to be revealed after this falling away. Okay? Can someone mute that entry in there? Thank you. So the falling away in verse 3 is the word apostasia, and it means a departing. It doesn't, what that departing is, the context has to tell you. It's not apostasy like we, the English word that we see today where it's a renegade from truth. The apostasy in the Greek is simply a departing, and the context of departing is those who are leaving in verse 1, right? Those us who are being gathered together unto him. If that hasn't happened yet, then this day of the Lord could not have arrived. Okay? Because the departing has to come first, as he says in verse 3. And it's not a departing, it's the departing. There's a definite article. There's a specific departing. The departing, and of course, in the context, it's those that are being gathered together unto him in verse 1. And the gathering together unto the Lord in verse 1 is what we know as the rapture in Paul's first letter to these same Thessalonians, where in verses 16 and 17, go ahead and read that. Somebody on the right, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. For the Lord himself, what? Somebody read on the right. Okay, I'm going to read it. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall what? Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord where? In the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we are caught up together with the dead in Christ. That's the gathering together unto him that Paul mentions again in 2 Thessalonians 2:1. That has to happen before this day of the Lord can happen when the man of sin is revealed. Okay? So that's why in verse 6, you see that he is revealed in his time and not in the time of he that's going to be taken out of the way. Because who is he that's taken out of the way? The church that is the one new man of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. The church is a he. Ephesians 2, verses 15 and 16. On the right, we read, having abolished in this flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself, as in Christ, of twain, of two, one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. The one body is the one new man of verse 15, okay? So, that's the he that has to be taken out of the way, all right? Because right now, under the dispensation of grace, we are sent forth with a message of peace. Our gospel is called the gospel of peace in Ephesians 6, verse 15. God has given to us the word of reconciliation, the word of making peace. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, he calls it the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of peace. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, those that have been reconciled and made their peace with God are said to be his ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, to therefore offer that same reconciliation to those who have yet to be reconciled by trusting the one who has made sin for them, Christ who knew no sin, that they could be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. The whole message under the Gentile dispensation of grace in Ephesians 3:1-2, where Israel has been set aside naturally until this dispensation completes its course, it's one of peace. And a message of peace. When this body of Jew and Gentile equal gets taken out and the church is gone, the he is gone, what happens in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 8 and 9? Somebody read that on the left.
And then so, then we can be the view whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy the blindness of his coming. Even him was coming is after the meeting of Satan, before power and signs and lying wonders, and before the simple of righteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved.
Yeah. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Okay? They didn't receive. Christ says what? He says, We'll come over to John chapter. The truth is a person, okay? John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, verse 36, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Just as Christ is the truth, whom those under this dispensation of grace refuse the one who is the truth, refuse his payment for their sin, did not believe that. They are going to be, God is going to send them what in verses 10 and 11 on their left?
And before the sin of this unrighteousness, and then that they is because they deceive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe in lie.
Yeah, and it's the lie. Just as Christ is the truth in verse 10, they didn't receive his love. They didn't receive the fact that he loved them to the point where he paid for their sin. They didn't receive the love of the Son. Okay? God's going to send them strong delusion that they what? That they believe the lie. You see, it's the lie there in verse 11. What's the lie? Come over to Romans chapter 1, verse 25. I'll read from verse 23 to 25. Romans chapter 1, read from verse 21 through 25 on the right.
Because that when they knew God, they could find him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like you, to corruptible man, and to birds, and offering peace and living things. Wherefore, God also gave them up like greediness, through the lust of their own hearts, which run their own bodies to themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, which is blessed for him.
Yeah, you see, there were two times when men could say they have to have known God. One was the first man, Adam. He was the only one there with Eve. Okay, and the world became corrupt that time, and it was destroyed by the flood, wasn't it? Okay, and the other time was, of course, Noah, after God started over. On a cleansed earth, new earth, okay? And then, of course, they all became involved in the Tower of Building, Tower of Babel project, okay? And God scattered the people over the face of the earth because they didn't do it when he commanded them to do it. He forced them to be overspread the earth and repopulated. And so in both times, man resisted. They started knowing God, they became corrupt, and worship the creature, the creation, above the creator. Man professed himself to be as God above the creator and worshiped all, and you know, the idolatry and all the signs in the heavens that pointed to the true creator. Okay, they worshiped the symbols rather and glorified themselves rather than the one who made them. Okay, so the truth is God himself, and the lie is man proclaiming himself to be God, okay, which is going to be, of course, the Antichrist, okay? He's going to be the climax idol, okay? And they're going to believe that lie, okay, because they didn't receive the love of the truth. So if this dispensation were to close today, and there were those that heard, and they live on after this message is over, because what happens once the dispensation of grace is over? God is going to have his day of wrath, isn't he? And then all this will play out in 2 Thessalonians 2. Man will have his Antichrist, they will believe that lie, and they will experience the wrath of God in the tribulation, okay? Now, this says we mentioned also the fact that, and we don't have time for this, is a study in itself, okay? But there's not going to be a small time between the rapture and the opening of the tribulation. A comparison of Revelation chapter 17 with Daniel chapter 11 shows that seven kings have to arise between the close, or I should say six kings have to arise between the close of between the rapture and the opening of the trib, six kings being the Antichrist, and then he's killed for about 3 days. He's the 3 days in the ground, and the seventh king reigns for that short space of 3 days, and he gets killed, and then the Antichrist gets resurrected. The sixth king becomes the eighth. Okay, he's counted twice. Okay, and he is the man of sin, the son of perdition, of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But there's going to be a block of time between the rapture and the opening of the trib to account for those five kings to come up in the Middle East and be killed, and for that sixth king to be there. And you have kind of a like parallel between the rapture of Enoch and the flood coming on. The distance of time between the flood and the rapture of Enoch was 604 years. You can make that calculation from Genesis 5. Okay? We know that man lived centuries before the flood. They only lived decades after the flood. There's a factor of 10 there. Okay? So if you factor, taking that factor of 10 and divide that 600, let's say by 10, you have 60 odd years. That would be a sufficient amount of time probably for those six kings to come up and arise. Okay? And so there's going to be a generation that's going to die out between the rapture and the trib. They're not going to have the opportunity of being saved again if they rejected this message here. They will die in that interim. Okay? And just like Israel in the wilderness, remember, only two people were able to inherit the land. All the rest of the generation that were unbelief, they all got consumed in the wilderness, didn't they? In that interim time. Similar thing will happen here. Okay? So, there you have it. Okay? And on that note, I think we're out of time, so I'm going to close it here.